So we'll start. Welcome to the Let Go Absolutely. Here, God, please take it. Meeting. My name is Michelle, and I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, and your speaker today. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will be done. Okay. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign a release upon the table after the meeting. The release is right there to my right. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps? It's up here.
The Compulsive Overeater, the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. A short reading, then I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Let Go Absolutely, Hear God, Please Take It. The following is a reading from the Voices of Recovery, July 25th. We have what we need anytime we are willing to let go of self-will and humbly ask for help. From OA 12 and 12, page 27. This seems to be the key to the program and to life, being able to let go of self-will and to reach out to a power greater than myself for help. It took me many years in the program to feel that this is how it works. Self-will always seemed such a source of energy, yet I couldn't see that this type of energy resulted in a lot of restlessness. There is much more peace in doing the things my higher power wants me to do. And, to my surprise, this doesn't mean things don't get done. I still do the laundry, have a job, cook a healthy meal. It's just my frame of mind that has changed. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. So if we could do 7, 3, and then I realize that it's 10 to 15 minutes, so we'll do 7, 3, and 5, just in case I need the 15 minutes. Okay. So once again, for those of you who weren't here, I'm Michelle, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic. Hi. Honored to be speaking today. To qualify, I've been in program for a little over 2 years, and I've been abstinent for a little over 2 years. My abstinence is no binging, no purging, no over-exercising. I also don't use laxatives and diet pills anymore. And my daily routine is calling my sponsor every morning. I read 3 pages from the Big Book. I read the For Today for that day. And I, Big Book, the For Today. Oh, I say the Serenity Prayer or the Third Step Prayer. And throughout the day, make 3 outreach calls. And at the end of the day, turn in my food to my sponsor with a list of 10 things I'm grateful for. So that's how I work my program. And, of course, go to meetings as often as I can, minimum of 3 a week. And reading this reading, and the topic of Hear God, Please Take It. Actually, this morning I was on my way here and I really wanted to hear the 9 a.m. speaker because I just wanted to get in a little early. And on my way, I was in a little hurry and I stopped at a stop sign, but I didn't completely stop at the stop sign. And I looked to my left and there are 2 officers looking at me dead in the eye. And I keep going, and I get pulled over, and I get a speeding ticket. And I just, like, it took a second, started shaking, because that's just what I do. Thank you. Is that 3? That was 3. Okay. So I take a second, and I just turn to God and say, you know what? I haven't been stopping at the stop sign all the time. Thanks. I got your lesson. I cried a little, and then I just let it go, and I said that this will take care of itself eventually. I don't need to worry about how am I going to pay for this ticket, how am I going to tell my father, what am I going to do, because before program, something would happen, and I would just obsess. It was a constant, how do I take care of this, what do? How do I tell someone? This is going to be a catastrophe, the world is over, end of my life, Dad's not going to talk to me anymore. And now I could just simply say, God's going to take care of it. I just need to show up at this meeting today and do what I committed to doing. And my life has just become mini commitments along the day. And I just need to worry about the next thing that's coming up. So with the topic of let go absolutely, hear God, please take it, in my disease, I was binging in the evenings, and then in the morning, not eating, telling myself that today I'm not going to eat bread, today I'm not going to have sugar, today I'm going to not eat because I ate so much the night before. And then I would try to over-exercise. I'd exercise probably 3 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the evening, or whatever it was to get to like 5 to 6 hours a day. Sometimes I'd just purge after the meal and think that I took care of it. And in my mind, that was letting go. That was releasing the food. That was getting it. Rid of it. It doesn't matter anymore. I can move on with my life. But I didn't move on with my life because I was still obsessing over the binge that happened the night before. And then I had this whole circuit going on constantly for months, years, and up until I came into these rooms in 2011, 30 pounds heavier than I am now, majorly depressed. And I will apologize, I don't speak very often, so bear with me. I feel like I ramble sometimes. But over here it says, self-will always seemed such a source of energy. And that was anxiety for me. It was like I could just feed off of anxiety. I would sit in my classes, I would write down all of my calories, I would write down all of my workouts, I would write down my to-dos for the whole day, and it was just like my journal before recovery was numbers, my weight, my calories, everything. It was just numbers. And today, when you look at my journals, there's times, there's what I ate, and then there's feelings. And getting in touch with those feelings and just pretty much saying, here, God, this is where I am today, and I'm going to let you kind of guide me through your path in where I should go with it, that's recovery for me. That's where I could take a step back and say, I wrote it. I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to obsess about it. The anxiety doesn't have to constantly control me. And then it says, to my surprise, this doesn't mean things don't get done. I currently, before recovery, I was spending more hours at the gym than I was in class. I was a student studying nutrition because I thought that becoming a dietitian, I could use all of that information to my advantage and I could get to the skinny, tiny weight that I wanted to be and be quote-unquote healthy. I was failing out of my classes. I couldn't sit in my classes and pay attention. I was too busy writing all of my numbers or sleeping or not going to class and spending that time in the gym. Thank you. So that's, we're at 7 minutes now?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. So I was just, my life was unmanageable. I thought that I had no friends, which later on, when I had a more clear mind, I realized I always had a very big support system. They just had no idea what I was going through. I would sit at home on a Saturday night and just look through all of my contacts and just scroll and scroll and scroll and be like, that person doesn't want to see me. That person has better things to do tonight. That person has a boyfriend. That person has a greater life than I do, so they don't want to hang out with me. And I would binge. And after recovery, I realized that that's not the case. I have a huge support system that God had there for me the whole time. I just needed to learn how to reach out to. I am not dyslexic like I thought I was. I wasn't failing classes because I had learning disabilities. I was failing classes because I was so consumed by this disease. And I wasn't stupid. I wasn't someone who isn't driven and motivated to reach a goal. And I learned that because today I am still in school and I'm passing all of my classes. I'm graduating in May. I will be applying for grad schools a year from now, or 6 months from now, hopefully getting accepted a year from now. And I am volunteering in two nonprofit organizations where I spend most of my time being of service. And I have a life greater than I ever thought was possible. I have a sponsee at the moment who I could help through her recovery. And I have fellows that I've created such a great friendship with that I hang out with them outside of the rooms. And I never thought that was possible. I never thought that on a Saturday night I'd have people texting me to see what I'm up to and what, like, where I'm going. And I want to go out. I don't want to stay home and isolate anymore. And that's because I was able to bring God into my life and kind of just say, you guide me. You take all of this depression, all of this anxiety, all of these feelings, and you help me get through this. So that's where I am today. I'm in a place where I could get a speeding ticket in the morning and not have to binge about it and not have to feel like, because there's this heavy feeling, I need to purge to feel like I'm letting go. I could just turn to God and say, God, please take me down your path. If this is a lesson that I need to learn, teach it. I will move on. I will still eat my three meals, and I will be of service. And that's pretty much my mantra for life now. It's just, what do I have to do? You tell me. I will do my best to let it go and hand it over and then take the next right action. So I think that's where I'm going to leave you. Thank you. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This session will end at 10:55 a.m. Would anyone like to share? I don't see why not.
Okay.
Do you want to say your name? And
I'm Lisa S., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lisa.
What has been a key, like, breakthrough in your relationship with God that's helped you let go?
My key breakthrough in my relationship with God that helps me let go. I think it started with the food, because that was my main symptom. To let go of the food and to not. Once I had a binge in the evening, the next morning I woke up, I had to let go of that. And that was my first baby step. It was to just let go of the feelings, what got me there, why it happened, whatever it was, journal about it, turn the food over to my sponsor, and the next morning know that it was a new day and that there's no way that I could skip a meal. Taking the next right action was where I learned that I had to let go and just move on. I actually have also had, and I guess I should have probably shared about this in my whole share, but I've had some sexual experiences where in my fourth step was when I had to kind of write about it, be okay with it, because I come from a family where everything is perfect, and my disease is mainly about perfectionism. I grew up in Beverly Hills. We were the quote-unquote Brady Bunch. And so I really strived for perfection and kind of letting go of that, like, I have quote-unquote good feelings and bad feelings, and that there is a gray area in life and not everything is good and bad and black and white. And my fourth step, I'd have to say, was a big, okay, God, I'm turning this over, I'm letting it go, I'm accepting it for what it is, and now you show me the path of where I go with, especially my sexual life, like, where do I go from here? How do I accept a new man in my life? How do I make myself vulnerable again? So it's, yeah, I think that's the answer to the question.
And a follow-up question is, what promises, that's good enough, didn't lie, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to share? Yeah.
I was going to ask you.
Oh, it became a panel.
I know. about your step work.
My step work, okay.
Yeah, because, as you said, like, the fourth step really impacted you in terms of, like, letting go, just let God take care of things. You know, how far along are you in your steps? And you know, was there any other points where you said, oh, because you seem to have a great deal of serenity. I'm, like, you know, let's say, like, getting a ticket from stops, over California rolling stop, it's really not fun. And you know, you're serene. And you have this beautiful serenity about you. So, can you tell us a little bit about where you saw that coming in on your steps?
Yeah. Okay, so since we're being recorded, I think maybe we need everyone to come up to the microphone. I just realized that. But I'll repeat the question. The question was where I am in my steps and how I use the steps daily, pretty much. So my step situation is actually pretty interesting. I got to my fifth step. I turned it over. I was on to my sixth step, and I switched sponsors, and my sponsor was like, well, you've been in program for 2 years. You're on your sixth step right now, but you're starting fresh with me, so we're going to get a whole new fresh start. You're not going to start your abstinence all over again, but we're going to go back to step one. And I was like, all right, easy peasy, I got this. I've been doing this for 2 years, no worries. I do step 1, 2, 3 every day. That wasn't the case. It's been about a month that I'm on my first step again. Because doing it a second time around, I'm realizing that there is... You kind of just look at the whole program with a different pair of eyes, with, like, stronger honesty. And, like, the first step being that my life has become unmanageable and I'm powerless over food is just... It's huge to me. And just going back to the first step, I'm finding that that feeling of being powerless is stronger now than it was ever. So I am actually very happy that I'm spending this much time in getting a little deeper in, like, how is my life unmanageable? What makes it unmanageable with the food? What makes it unmanageable with the thoughts? But the way that I work the steps on a daily basis is that I do steps 1, 2, and 3 by reminding myself every morning when I call my sponsor, I am powerless over the food. My thoughts are unmanageable. I need God. Please, God, here, take me. And then the rest of the step work is what my sponsor directs me to do, which is going to be a little different this time around, so we'll see. Anyone else like to share? You could come share. Yeah. Hi, I'm Jolene, compulsive overeater and body obsessor. Thanks for your share. I'm kind of a control freak, so I'm like, I need to get up there. Like, I don't know, I'm crazy. I don't like, I'm like, just let go, absolutely, Jolene, and let this meeting go however it's supposed to go. But I'm like, and I don't even know what I want to say other than I just wanted to get up here. I don't know why. I'm having a lot of questions lately about my abstinence and if there's changes that I need to make in order to get more physical recovery, but yet I feel like I need to tread really carefully with that so that I don't... I'm really afraid of losing a lot of weight. Like, I just am really afraid of losing a lot of weight, and I'm really afraid of losing a lot of weight and then gaining a lot of weight back, because that's what's always happened. And so I'm, like, work my abstinence, like, very carefully so that I'm like, don't undereat, because you might lose weight, and then that might be scary. And although I know that, you know, part of this program is to be working towards a healthy body weight, and I just feel like this is where I have to let go absolutely and trust that, you know, my higher power is actually guiding this whole process, whether I gain weight or I lose weight or I stay the same weight or whatever happens. This is all part of my higher power's plan for me, and that it's not really about the food, that it's about working the steps and like doing my step work. And thanks for the reminder about doing steps 1, 2, and 3. Like when I do that on my way to work, just kind of outline the things that I feel powerless over that day and the ways that my life becomes unmanageable, and then what it would look like if I'm restored to sanity. That tends to help me have a better day. But today I'm feeling already really anxious about my day. It's a 3-day weekend, so I feel like it should be great. You know, it's a 3-day weekend, woo. But then it's like, oh my God, but this day's already halfway over. And then tomorrow's the day that I have to do my laundry and I have to go grocery shopping. I have to do all these things. And I'm just sitting here and it's like, that's not letting go. You know, that's trying to control and being in fear that it's not going to be great enough. And I don't know. I just guess I just wanted to stand up and just kind of share where I'm at, that that I want to let go. I want to just try, maybe as an experiment today, to not be planning my whole day as I'm living my whole day, but try and just let go and just let my day happen to me as it goes. So thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Molly. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic. Not sure what I want to share. I really gravitated toward the topic. I was talking to my sponsor this morning and was talking about this idea of, as I talk, because she's the one who really needs to push me to journal, and I want to talk it out, and because I want to do surface level. I don't want to go that deep. And so as I was talking, I discovered that I have some fear because I'm getting in my life what I've wanted, and that's scary. And my fear of failure and not being able to maintain, whether it's a status or a job, and I start to get into not only what I think of where I'm at, but what other people, and I'm being put in these leadership positions in an avocation of mine, which is really fantastic. And so being able to talk that out to my sponsor and having her lovingly push me to write about it, we have an ongoing joke about that, but that forces me to let go and uncover, just go, you know, go to a deeper level. And I, you know, like there's all these cliches in program, right? Like let go and let God. And it's like I had to, for me, letting go is just bottom line, putting on my big girl pants and doing what I need to do. And so, like, God does for me what I can't do for myself. Like, the unfun stuff. You know, I want to make a list of things to do, of the things that I enjoy. I want to be avoidant, and I want to work out extra long. And I want to, you know, I had a sponsor, one of my earlier sponsors, who said, if I wanted to over-exercise, just keep running up and down the steps. And I was like, and I'll never forget that. So it always brings me back to kind of that step zero, really. I know my life's unmanageable, but, you know, I want to say all the things that I have in order, right? And I'm just not in charge. And I have to remind myself of this. I'm good with, like, visuals, but this idea that, you know, I want to drive the car, and then finally I can let go and surrender a little bit and go in the passenger seat. I need my ass in the trunk. Excuse me for saying ass on. But I need to be, like, in the car, but, like, can't be seen, because my higher power has to be in the driver's seat. And that's all I know for today. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Janice, and I'm the compulsive overeater, but I don't want to be. And hi, and I know I'm a sugar addict, and coming to this entire weekend randomly, because you know you go into a workshop or a meeting or titled something, and you think you're going in to hear, you have an idea of what it's going to be, but you know what our thinking is, it's not quite accurate or clear. And then everybody has their own views, and I got really clear, I think last night, when somebody was talking about their physical malady and how they're never going to have a normal relationship with food. And I kept saying, you know, I say that about sugar, but I don't say that about all food. Well, I have been really clean with my sugar for 2 years, and I'm still not taking off a lot of pounds. So maybe somebody from the outside would look at me and say, wow, maybe I need to rethink my relationship with food. But me sitting in my own mind is still saying, well, Janice, you're still, you're okay. You don't have a physical ailment with food. And I could, follow everybody's directions and say, right, except for that I was not the person asking the question last night about, I'm not comfortable writing. I don't write. I, whatever about writing. And how do I function in this program without writing those feelings down? And I got to tell you, coming to these conferences and coming to workshops is where I really get God speaking to me through all of these people with a long time of experience, or somebody with a lot of wisdom through their sponsorships and their experience, and through hearing messages. And I don't know how God wires it through to me, but I wind up sitting in a chair today where I'm hearing that, oh, maybe I don't have to figure it out again. And I've been around for a number of years in these rooms, and that I need to get God into my everyday life and let Him worry about how I'm going to get the writing down to get the feelings out and onto paper, instead of me saying, well, I can't write. So I'm committing to turning that over to God, to let God figure out how I'm going to get that down in writing. And because you know what? I want to be as calm today about the idea of getting my feelings out into writing like somebody is after getting a ticket. I mean, this is really a very simple program. It does not seem to be very easy right now. But I just want to thank you all, because God is speaking through all of your shares to me today. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Erin. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm extremely reluctant to share, so that's why I'm up here. Letting go, absolutely. That's what I need so bad, and it's just like, where do you start? I hate to crosstalk, and thanks so much for your lead and everyone else's shares. But it brings me back to these dreams that I used to have, some years ago, and just kind of my story. I started coming to OA mid-December of 2012, so it's been a little bit over a year. I let myself relapse. I truly think it was conscious. I wanted to hit a bottom because I realized that I needed to do the work, because I wasn't doing the work and I wasn't letting go and taking the action I need to do. And I realized that I'm not even willing to get in the car. it's like I'm not even willing to get in the car to be driven around, so to speak. And it brings me back to these dreams that I used to have. I just was sitting down, just thinking about, like, oh, yeah, you know how sometimes you have these reoccurring dreams? I used to have these reoccurring dreams where I was literally in my car and in the back seat, and no one was driving it, but it was still moving. And it's just so weird. I'm like, what does that mean? Who knows? But, you know, the past, I don't even know how long, but the past probably definitely 15 years, I've been so much in my disease, so much of frenzy and chatter and trying to keep up with what I thought my life was supposed to be in terms of societal expectations and where I thought I was supposed to be, career, you know, married, this, that, the other. And no, I thought everything was on track, and I basically came out here to LA and my life completely fell apart. And I'm really grateful that it did, because it wasn't for me. And it was the biggest wake-up call that I had to be in touch and be accepting of myself and accepting life on life's terms. And I realized that I do need to let go, but it requires a lot of work and a lot of action. And it, in that action, I get so much fear. And I just need to let go and say, this is the only way that I can let go, is to do the work and do the action that I need to do, and God will steer it right. So, oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Elisa, a recovering compulsive overeater. Hi. Michelle, thank you so much. I definitely want to got a lot out of your share and want to talk to you more, because letting go is one of my key problems. I am a total control freak. And I have a theory, a bit self-serving, theory nonetheless, about my own problems with letting go and letting God. I've been spiritual for God since, like, birth, and of course coming to OA was a spiritual reawakening and rebirth for me, and it's been a really fantastic journey, and thank God for OA. But I have a theory that when, for me personally, and I feel for, like, my sponsees and other fellows who have trouble letting go, it really comes to how we were raised. Maybe there are exceptions, but for me personally, I feel I am tracing back my control issues and difficulty in trusting God and letting God run my life with the fact that the first people who were entrusted to run my life did so very haphazardly. And so to then surrender control once again to a loving God is a bit trepidatious, because I surrendered control at birth to two parents who were extremely well-meaning, loved me to the best of their ability, and just had no clue as to, for me in particular, I'm a very sensitive type of child, for me in particular, who needed a lot of, you know, nurturing and talking to and, you know, all that good stuff. And to an extent, I think all children require that in their birth. And because I did not have that and did not really have a release valve, food was the counterfeit love that I turned to initially to make up for the lack of true love as I grew up. So I'm very gentle with myself in terms of understanding why the key issues with why I have difficulty letting go. And I know it's a journey, and I know that God is working with me, and I know that God understands where I'm coming from in terms of, you know, needing to being so tightly wired where I want things to be my way. My theory is that if you have an ability initially coming into OA to have, like, good relationships with other people and then you're, and to, you know, have that ebb and flow with people in your family, that ebb and flow with God and developing a relationship with Him will be just as kind of organic, and you know, you'll be able to like let go more easily with God. Unfortunately, with me, that was not the case. So relationships have been a struggle. My relationship with God in particular has been, you know, challenging, and it's definitely improved. I mean, like night and day. And I'm excited for 2014 because I know it's going to just improve that much more. I know the healing that, you know, needs to take place through working the steps is coming to fruition. Started working on step 8, and I saw like tremendous, just on starting to work on that, tremendous growth. And this is my third time around, by the way, working all the steps. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Pasha, compulsive eater. And I'm sorry I missed your talk, but this topic was also a magnet for me. I'm still in a period of deep, intense grief. I had a horrible shock this past summer, and so was working the program, meeting with my sponsor 3 times a week, crying my eyes out in my car. Oh, what am I going to write on this, do this, read that. I was beating myself up with the program, really. And what happened was, because this is my interpretation, because I was willing to do whatever it took, I was willing to go to any lengths because I had the gift of desperation. And it wasn't working out the way I thought it should work. I mean, I'm doing all the work, so how come I'm not getting all the benefits that I think I should be getting? Well, I did this, so check. I did this, so this should happen. I did this, so this should happen. And then one day, really, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but one day I woke up and it was like, I'm done. I'm just done. I can't carry this. I can't keep working so hard. It was not moderate. It was not sane. I was doing the program insanely. Anyway, this is from The Voices of Recovery, February 15. Surrender, then, is an unconscious event. It is not willed by the individual. It can only occur when one becomes involved with one's unconscious mind in a set of circumstances which signal the undeniable need for an external greater power. The definition of surrender can be understood only when all its unconscious ramifications and true inner meanings are glimpsed. Observed by others, such an individual manifests an inner calm and a live and let live attitude. Oh, sorry, that's from Overeaters Anonymous, second edition. So I can't make surrender happen to me. I can't surrender. I can't. Surrender is bestowed upon me. I can't make it happen. But what I can do is all of my footwork to create the environment to allow surrender to appear in my life. And you know where it says that it's an unconscious event, when all of these other things signal the need for a deeper, external, greater power. So I also want to just share on ROA 12 and 12, step 6, which I kind of live in 6 and 7. I've done all the steps, but I still have defects. Oh, my gosh. Surprise. So as with the 5 earlier steps, our rewards when we've taken step 6 are great. Although we may not realize it at first, our commitment to embrace the needed changes in ourselves has given us an extraordinary power to deal with life's challenges. No longer do we go through life clinging desperately to the past, resistant to change. From now on, we will strive to keep ourselves entirely ready for any transformation our higher power wants to bring about in us. So all I have to do is just be ready. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what surrender is. It has to happen to me. Having such an attitude, we cannot fail. That's a promise. It's not, well, you probably won't fail. You might not fail. It's a declarative sentence. Having such an attitude, we cannot fail. Thanks.
I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater, And I, too, don't like sharing, particularly at a podium, but when I came in here and was listening to, you know, your journey with the higher power, I just have to share something that will sound so inane, but, you know, I don't work this program smoothly, but you know what, you haven't kicked me out yet. And about 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, I was trying to do my step work because, you know, time to do step one, so here I am, and I read, and I answer the questions and do it, you know, the way my sponsor told me to do it, you know. And I read it to her, and I said, okay, so I'm done with step one. And she said, well, not really. I want you to go back, and I want you to read the AA 12 and 12. And I said, okay, well, shoot. Well, what's the matter? And she said, well, just read it. So I read the AA 12 and 12, and I called her back, and I said, so I read it. So there we go. And she said, so have you done any more writing? And I said, not. Anyway, we just went back and forth like this. And then she said, well, just go back and start underlining. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I was really ready to kill her. I almost fired her as my sponsor because I was like, I don't get where you want me to be. And she wouldn't tell me where I was messing up, right? So finally, I was so frustrated because I was literally in tears. And I remember I went into my counselor. I said, she's flunking me, and I don't know how to get past step one. So I just left alone. So a year later, and through all this, I should say, my husband had a massive stroke. And so it's been a dicey last 3.5 years, a real dicey 3.5 years, and a lot of different stuff going on and trying to work this program on top of that. And so I, anyway, a year later, I'm sitting in a parking lot on a Saturday afternoon waiting for somebody who I'm supposed to do step work with in another 12-step program that I've been in for a lot of years, and she doesn't show up. And I thought, well, now what? It's an hour till the meeting. What am I going to do? And I have the only thing I have, I don't even have a People magazine or Wall Street, anything. I have reading, you know, literature, Al-Anon, or AA, excuse me. Program literature. So I am sitting there, okay, so I'll read. So I thought, well, shoot, I'm sitting here. Maybe I should look at step one again. And so I write one paragraph, and I'm just furious when I'm writing it, just think, da, 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 da. And I'm thinking, all right, so I call my sponsor, and I said, okay, I'm sitting here. I just wrote about step one, and you flunked me on my step one a year ago, and I want to know why, and I think I'm done. And she goes, oh, okay, well, why don't you read me what you've written? So I did. And she went, okay. So I said, so I've done step one? And she said, yeah. I said, so what's different from the last time I did this? She said, well, you didn't mention your higher power. So in my first step, a year before, I hadn't even turned nothing over. I had turned nothing over. You know, I'd just been very precise, and you've been all about my intellect and brain and, you know, whatever, and not done anything in terms of my spiritual connection with my higher power. So anyway, I am just such a slow learner, but I am so grateful for the many different tools, for the gift of time, for my higher power giving me enough patience to hang in there, and people that show me enough love to hang in there with me while I go through this journey. Because I am, you know, the cat with the claws hanging on, trying to do it my way, very precisely, my timeline. And my higher power is going, this is the way we're going to do it. You know, it's not going to be according to your timeline. So I'm learning. Anyway, thanks.
I'm Dan, compulsive over eater. Thanks for your share. I'm always amazed. I'm 67 years old. I'm male, and I wanted to be a football player, and this has always been an embarrassing disease for me because of the fact that somebody, grandmothers, who could be my granddaughter's age and is female, has the same disease in the same way I have it. Except that I was trying to be a professional football player, or a college football player, a high school football player, while at the same time trying to be as thin as I could, and which is insane. But so I'm glad about that, and I came into the room because I keep trying to get, after all these years, at least 25 years of program, somehow I forget what surrender means, what it means to me, and how to do it. But I know all the words, let go and let God, and all that business. And I forget about, this comes from somewhere else, it's a treat and move your feet, but take the next directed step. And when I take the next directed step, that always works. And somehow that's letting go, but it doesn't feel as wonderful. I want to feel wonderful when I surrender, like when I learned how to swim and I stopped fighting the water, and it's effortless and feels really good. And sometimes surrender feels like that for me. But I'm glad to realize here that that's right. It doesn't always feel good. And that gets me the feelings on that fast. And anyway, thanks.
I think. Yeah, I think we have time for one more 3 minute if anyone wants to.
Hi, I'm Courtney. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks, Michelle, for your lead this morning. It's so great to see you leading the meeting. And thank you, everybody, for sharing so far. I've participated quite a bit in this birthday party and on other topics, but letting go is generally the topic that I do focus on so much. And yet, something's come up very, very specifically for me in the last 24 hours with respect to food and what I eat. I'm thinking to myself, well, this is Overeaters Anonymous. And we are talking about letting go. And, to give the background, my history would be to starve all day and binge all night, virtually without exception for my entire adult life. And I didn't know there was any other way of living life. I didn't even know there was a problem, so I didn't really give it much thought, except that I knew I had some sort of issue, and one day I would address it. And it was kind of through wanting to deal with other matters that I ended up in these rooms, and that I was able to become abstinent. And initially, what abstinence really looked like under sponsor direction was 3 meals a day, so no starving, no binging. So that looked like 3 meals a day. And 3 meals a day. And, of course, at first it was like, well, a teeny meal in the morning and a teeny meal in the afternoon and, like, a really large meal at night. I mean, it took me about a year to kind of really, really and truly get peaceful with 3 meals a day. And I'm grateful to be able to say that for now a long while I have been eating 3 moderately sized meals a day. And the way that I did it was that part of it besides the rest of my spiritual program. But one of the things that I guess higher power would come to my mind and would remind me, it's okay, you're going to be okay, you can eat again in a few hours. It's going to be okay. So that has been working. And and then I was able to sort of take a look at the foods that I was eating and was able to sort of give away or sort of let go of those foods that really looked like red light foods, alcoholic foods, red light foods. And again, for that, I'm eternally grateful. And that's been about not quite 8 months now, or about actually a little over 8 months now. And but now I'm really looking at the yellow light foods, which at the end of the day would really look like basically giving up all sugar and all breads, and all related and all of their relations, you know, because I'm not kidding. I could kid somebody, but I don't think I'm kidding anybody is what I'm trying to say. When I say no sugar, no breads, we all know that there are, you know, relational foods that go in attendance. And I feel so much better when I do have a day without those foods. And I'm wondering, am I setting myself up for failure? So I think this pitch was mostly about coming up and saying this out loud for the first time. And we'll see what happens. So thanks for letting me share.
It is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for attending. After a meeting, a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer.